Kraken Pro is the powerful crypto platform for experienced traders who demand the best. With advanced charts, real-time market analytics, and lightning-fast trade execution, Kraken Pro empowers you to trade your way. Customize your setup and make every pixel count by rearranging and stacking trading modules in a way that makes sense to you. On Kraken Pro, you have the freedom to put your favorite market analytics and execution tools exactly where you need them. And whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, Kraken Pro has everything you need to navigate over 210 plus assets with confidence. Join the thousands of seasoned traders who trust Kraken Pro. Visit realvision.com/KrakenPro.
Is crypto leading the market lower? Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Real Vision Daily Briefing. I'm Maggie Lake. With me today is Tony Greer, editor of the Morning Navigator. Hey there, Tony.
What's up, Maggie? How are you doing today?
I'm okay. It's so rainy. I don't know if anybody is in the Northeast, but it has just been torrential for days and it's not going to stop. So we need a bigger boat, Tony.
Yeah, we do, for sure.
So, it's kind of like torrential out. It's a little bit volatile in the markets too. We have everybody really keen to hear your thoughts today, I think, because we're seeing things move. And I just said to you, I know you love that, right? When we were coming on air. So we see selling in US stocks, bonds, bond prices lower, yields higher, Bitcoin and ETH are sharply lower, but gold is up and oil is up. What do you make of what you're seeing? What's popping out to you?
First of all, Maggie, I love how you put the sort of weather patterns up against the market patterns and call out the storms that are breaking across the bow.
It's feeling like it.
I mean, you know, there's the markets are gyrating and they're sending messages again, which is, you know, my favorite part of watching them. And so I think the most important thing to notice that you nailed it, obviously gold, right? That's the centerpiece right here, because what I wanted to come in today and talk about is that, first of all, I think it's important to notice that the Bloomberg Commodities Index registered its first positive month in March after a 7-month slide in red territory, right? So there was a turnaround there. There was a 3% rally in corn, a 4% rally in copper and aluminum, a 7% rally in gasoline, 6% rally in crude oil, 9% rallies in gold and silver. So it sounds like the natural resources sector sat up in its chair and sent a message in March. And that's the message that I'm listening to and that I've been telling people to change up their portfolios or adjust their portfolios a bit because of this move. And then you look at the stock market in March, Maggie, all natural resources and housing in the lead. 20% rally in miners, 10% rally in gold, behind the 10% rally in gold. Natural resources and E&P both up 10%. Home construction and home builders up 7 and 8% in March. Basic materials and industrial miners up 6%. Message is crystal clear, right? Those are the leaders that were outpacing technology last month. So what happened is, you know, it feels like the market's got a whiff of, you know, the inflation bug is back. What we also got in March were fairly hot CPI and PPI numbers. That's why, you know, you come into the first day in April and you get ISM manufacturing back up above 50 and some stronger data there yesterday. You've got rates ratcheting higher right away, right out of the chutes in April, right? I think in response to, you know, that commodity bubbling that we just went over. And so now you've got higher yields, you got tens pushing the upper end of the range, you got stocks rotating where, dare I say, technology looks a little bit vulnerable. You know, I've been sitting up in my chair since my man Tom Thornton called out the DMARC 13 and NVIDIA last week. The price was 950 and it dropped like, you know, wet socks on a chicken, 50, 60 bucks, and it's now under $900. So if that's the beginning of that pullback, leading technology lower, I think all the money that comes out of that is going to potentially go flying into the natural resources markets, right? Some of these ETFs, like the XLE E&P ETF, are trading to all-time highs. The housing ETFs are trading to all-time highs with large magnitude gains, right? These are sending a message to me that is pretty clear that the natural resources sector has awoken. right? And if you're not, if you're off sides here, I think it could be potentially dangerous in the next several months, because you probably just got bit for the first time in March, but you might get bit again in the months that follow. You know why, Maggie? Because if we look at the screens today, it's basically a microcosm of what happened in March, right? Yep. We've got two Sigma rallies in XLE to a new all-time high, in gold, in silver, in aluminum, in diesel, and throw in zinc for good measure.
Zinc. Right? I haven't heard about zinc in a while. So we know things are moving, if that's
which begs the question, Maggie, have you ever seen zinc?
No.
No, me neither.
Unless it's oxide on a nose.
Exactly. So, you know, I think that those things are important. And then that's what, you know, you need to be focusing in on right now. And that versus, you know, the natural resources markets waking up versus, you know, the tech markets, which, and you know, I'll include Bitcoin in this for a moment, but like the AI and the tech stuff, that's all gone parabolic, right? And they're kind of due for a pullback. So while it's really hard to buck the trend, and I'm not saying that I've done that yet, I'm not short any tech, I'm not being a wise guy, I'm just going to watch the money flow, because I think that if those are due for a reasonable pullback, right, maybe they overextended on the highs and can pull back to some prices lower than this, some money comes out of that market while gold is breaking to a new all-time high and energy stocks are breaking out to a new all-time high and oil is now 85 bid trading towards 90, totally backwardated again in a completely bullish scenario. So, yeah. You know, this is what's going on and this is top of mind for me. And I also, we're going to kick the tires in Bitcoin before we finish this Definitely. Conversation. But I don't want to take the floor. Go ahead.
Yeah, definitely. I want to stay with the natural resources commodities for a minute. So we have a very active chat with a lot of people weighing in. And Doug asking, is this the rotation to commodities you've been talking about? Certainly looks like it in March. And I will say that for those of you who are paying attention, and this is why it pays to be a member, there were plenty of people like Tony who were kind of talking about, listen, this is, you heard Harry talk about it yesterday. Julian Brigden's probably cackling someplace right now. I'm seeing this action. So there were people who were talking about this, including Tony. But I want to bring up this sentiment that Michael just expressed. And this is, I think, more of a tactical question now about how you think about this when you've seen this kind of breakout, Tony. Michael said, what everyone knows isn't worth knowing, or sort of asking that. And I think giving voice to the fact that if you're sitting there and say you haven't made the move preemptively, is it too late now that you're seeing it? Or have you missed it? Do you chase this? Are you better just sitting there waiting for something else to happen? I think this is what goes through people's minds at an inflection point like this. How do you think about that?
Well, every trade needs to be entered tactically, right? With a sort of good technical reason. And I can just, the first thing that comes to mind is I just got long energy stocks in the newsletter and I got long them on the first print to a new all-time high, because it feels to me like we're still in the early phases of the natural resources strength trade, right? The Fed just pulled a huge hocus pocus on the markets. We got inflation from 9% to 5%. We got oil from 135 back to $65. You know, like, you know, they just pulled off a massive trick in the commodity space to get inflation, headline inflation, out of the headlines, right? We got it down to a level that the markets are always going to come barking back, because last sale is what matters, not what they, you know, bake into CPI or PPI data, which is now coming in a little bit hot. And that's before any of these commodity rallies registered into the data. So something worth keeping, you know, a tab on, let's say. So it's not too late. You know, what's going on now is we are experiencing different phases of the S&P breakout, right? The S&P is still brilliantly, in my opinion, doing its job, separating winners from losers. You know, you look at the rotation today, you know, and the biggest, strongest rallies were in oil services and energy. And that's the breakout that we just played. So I think it makes perfect sense that those stocks just continue on, you know, at this level. And so, yeah, some of these, it's still early enough, I think. You know, if you look at March, like March sent that message, you know, in the middle of the washing machine in March, you weren't able to discern how it was going to shake out. And finally, when you get the end and you get to the end and you start looking at the results, which just, you know, came in several days ago, you see, okay, there's big moves going on, but gold just broke out to a new all-time high 5 minutes ago, mm-hmm. right? Energy stocks just broke out to an all-time high. It, you know, home builders have been breaking out to all-time highs. So, you know, these trends are going, you know, you can pick your spot where to get in, but this is where the market is going. This is definitely showing you where the market's going. I think that we're in for a period now where the S&P may go sideways. The NASDAQ may back off a little, but we're going to see natural resources, you know, kind of dragging technology along, right? Where you're going to see natural resources be up several percent, you know, in the course of a week, and technology, you know, wants to go lower, but the S&P is still going higher. And so it's kind of causing indices to go sideways, energy and natural resources to go higher, and tech to just stop performing for a little while as money flows into a different space. So that's what I see happening, Maggie.
Hey, everyone. We're going to take a quick break right now to hear a word from our partners. We'll be right back with more of the day's top analysis on the Real Vision Daily Briefing.
Kraken Pro is the powerful crypto platform for experienced traders who demand the best. With advanced charts, real-time market analytics, and lightning-fast trade execution, Kraken Pro empowers you to trade your way. Customize your setup and make every pixel count by rearranging and stacking trading modules in a way that makes sense to you. On Kraken Pro, you have the freedom to put your favorite market analytics and execution tools exactly where you need them. And whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, Kraken Pro has everything you need to navigate over 210 plus assets with confidence. Join the thousands of seasoned traders who trust Kraken Pro. Visit realvision.com/KrakenPro. Few investments make a better long-term hedge against inflation, depression, and economic downturns than precious metals like gold and silver. Plan for the inevitable and protect your environment savings with a gold-backed IRA from Noble Gold Investments. Noble Gold Investments is the gold IRA company that Americans trust. The founders of Noble Gold have more than 20 years of combined experience in buying gold and silver. They have secured more than $1 billion in precious metals for their clients. Gold remains steady when inflation is on the rise and the dollar is in turmoil. Its value doesn't just hold, it increases during inflationary periods. And unlike money, gold can't be printed. It's your shield in times of economic uncertainty. Invest in something you can hold. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com/vision to get started. Don't wait. That's noblegoldinvestments.com/vision.
Yeah. And it's interesting you said you're not, so it is that rotation, but you said you're not shorting tech yet. So you want to see it's been hard to do that. That's been a tough one because you've kind of gotten, not you, but people who've tried to do that have gotten run over before. So are you fine to just to be neutral, or how do you think about that when you start to see that rotation away? Does it mean tech has to have a pullback, or do we maybe just go sideways?
Well, what I think is, I feel like the disco ball in the room, Nvidia, looks like it may have peaked for the short term, right? You have a big parabolic top on the thing. Tom Thornton picks out a DMARC 13, which it hasn't picked its head up since he called that. And probably, you know, all I'm expecting is a sensible market dynamic pullback for Nvidia into the moving averages, right? It's going to maintain an uptrend. It's going to maintain, you know, the AI tailwinds, but the price got over its skis, right? I mean, that's obvious right now. 950 is in the rearview mirror. We're under 900. So price was ahead of its, over its skis. And it feels like it still might be that way. So if I'm not, that's kind of the disco ball that I'm talking about, that I would take a chance on shorting, because at least there's a little bit of room on the downside where I can bob and weave, right? The NASDAQ, I'm not really interested in shorting the whole tech space, because I'm a natural born equity bull, especially given the conditions that we're under right now. So, you know, like I said, the market is going to be, there's going to be timed breakouts, you know, all along the way. And you're just going to have to make sure that you're in the sectors that are performing and not the ones that die for a little while. And I feel like tech is kind of due to be sideways to tough to make money at the highs kind of feel to it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. There's a kind of complex macro overlay on this that makes it really tricky. There's a lot of cross currents. Doug is asking, so gold is interesting, right? Because that's been the sort of trade that disappointed It's been frustrating for people. Does this breakout feel real? And Mark is, Doug is asking, gold hitting a new high, even with the Dixie going up, is gold forecasting the Fed being forced to cut rates? Thanks. How are you thinking about gold? Does this breakout feel like a substantial one?
I'm thinking about gold breaking out as a single commodity that it makes sense to be breaking out now with fundamental, technical, and every other kind of tailwind that you can come up with. If it looks like a breakout and smells like a breakout through the triple top at 2080 and the cup and handle and every other chart that we've been staring at for the last 5 years, then it is a breakout. I'm still saying, Maggie, I'm still going with my call that don't be shocked when you wake up one morning and gold is up $200, because we're in all-time high space now, and all it takes is one asset allocation to send the thing effing flying, right? Because we're in new high territory, so there's no resistance level for anybody that wants to make a sale to find out where to make a sale. The next place to make a sale is going to be where the last ding-dong buyer walks in and, you know, paints a crazy new high on the tape, and that'll be the next resistance level. But until then, to me, it looks like a clear pass to at least $2,600, maybe $3,000 this year. I don't know. This is a real breakout, and for with totally good reason if you look around the world. So yeah, this is like the second most bullish security on my radar behind the S&P 500.
That's so cast everyone go back on the platform, people, and search up Rick Rule. In his interviews, he often talks about what the allocation of people's gold is. And I'm not suggesting where gold is going, but for a backdrop, for a fundamental backdrop of what Tony's talking about, he talks about the percentage of gold in people's portfolios, and it's minuscule. It's like nothing. And so his argument has always been for years, and you know, I'm not saying the timing of it, this is a very long-term view, is that even if there was an incremental change in that, it would make a huge difference. And that has been his bull argument for a long time. So perhaps worth going back and digging up some of those interviews, as I bet that they will be really helpful right now. And we'll see about getting Rick back on when we've got gold moving. I'm sure he's loving talking about it. Mark asking, I want to get a couple of these in because it's and then I want to ask you what you're hearing from your clients too, Tony, because I think that with all of this, are people trying to figure out not only what do I do for the future, but like, how do I hang on to what I made, right? Or like, am I going to get this big washout? And am I going to get blown out? Can I just be, if I have a slightly longer term view, what do I do? Mark saying, Tony, risks of a big fall that may sink all boats with a 50% correction on a technical basis. Like, is there a risk of that? You just said you're bullish the S&P. So I'm guessing—
In the S&P?
No, I think he means stocks. I think he means stocks in general. So he didn't specify, Mark, if you want to pop it in there, whether it's S&P or NASDAQ, but I think he's talking about, you know, some giant black swan type event that pulls the market down 50%.
My man, if that kind of thing, like, it doesn't feel to me like the world or the market or the tape or the credit markets or the high yield markets or the option markets or any market or any market I can think of telegraphing anything like that right now. And I feel like, with all due respect, I feel like you've got to give, like, if that's what you're worried about, you've got to get onto the right playing field here. Right. This is a bull market breakout. S&P, you know, breaking out technically, NASDAQ, AI tailwinds, you know, a very clear winner in the lead with NVIDIA and several other offshoot winners. Right. This is a new birthing level of technology that is quite clearly taking place. I mean, I find myself reaching for AI tools left and right, whether it's to create silly pictures for my newsletter or to have it summarize an article in bullet points that's 11 pages that I don't have any time to read, right? This is happening, right? So I feel like let's focus on what is happening. And, you know, if we get blindsided by something like that, then the whole world is too, you know? And so that's the way I have to play the game, basis like what has gone on in the last 24 hours, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, right? Like, I want to be in that reality. And if I'm living in that reality and I've got risk capital that has now been separated from my cash again and is going into the risk bucket, then put it at risk. And if you don't want it at risk, put it put it in cash, put it
that's
in something
really
else.
That's a really good distinction, Tony, right? Like that's one way. So by the way, Mark, I asked that question because everyone feels the same way. I think there's a part of everyone that looks out and it just seems like there's reasons to think that things are crazy and it's a very difficult time and there are a lot of sort of risks out there. And we all feel like that. And so it's, I think it's a very normal feeling, right? To feel like that, which is why Tony puts his sort of investing hat on. And also I think the idea of separating out money so that you feel secure with what you don't want to, that you really want to preserve. And then you can move forward with what you don't. I love that way of thinking about it, Tony.
Yeah. And also because I've been in those shoes before, you know, in my life where I've witnessed a breakout that I know is a breakout. And I've said to myself, you know, all these people buying into this are going to get all rinsed. And I've tried fading breakouts like that, like in like two iterations of Tony Greer, the trader ago. So it's like when you get tired of losing that money or you get tired of, you know, being, you know, out of the markets or not in sync, you know, and figuring out how to get in sync. But like we said, like we started, the point is, Maggie, the number one point is that question is not one that needs to be asked with all due respect. It's like, if the money's in cash, have it in cash. If you're going to have it at risk, then put it at risk. There's a number of bull markets out there for you to choose from, right? Observable bull markets. Pick your favorite one, the one you can sleep most with the money in the market, and tackle that one. That's my suggestion versus, you know, trying to figure out what to do if tomorrow means a 50% pullback in stocks, because I don't know how to live through that either.
We're going to take another quick break to hear a word from our partners. We'll be right back with more of the day's top analysis on the Real Vision Daily Briefing.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
513, declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mark just saying, just looking at the horizon. But that's right. And we all are. And that's very natural to do that, Mark. So that was that's a fantastic question. That's so helpful.
So the converse, Maggie, is this is why it's so fun for somebody with experience to be long anything trading into all-time highs.
Yeah.
Because you know damn well that it's breaking out. You know damn well that nobody knows where it's going. And you also know that there's going to be an entire room full of suckers that are going to get burnt fading it on the first day of the breakout. Mm. And so that's why it's really fun to witness that whole thing taking place, like we're seeing now across a number of markets.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been the case. I mean, people have been, we're fighting it all the way up on tech too. You know, it's just hard because, as I said, these are kind of crazy times we're living in. So I want to make sure we talk before we get some great questions coming in. I want to talk about the Bitcoin move. So it's interesting that gold is rallying and we see Bitcoin with a sharp drop today. And we're always asking that question. Is it correlated with risk assets or is it another option for people choosing gold or not? For a little while, it looked like that. That was a big move with Bitcoin, which is not unusual when we're talking about crypto, by the way. But what are you looking at for the Bitcoin chart? What jumped out to you with that
man.
Price action?
The Bitcoin chart speaks volumes to me, Maggie, right now. And it's because, you know, as we got to the highs, we heard from all the laser eyes again, and everybody's bullish 70K saying, you know, you don't understand. And every time you talk about shorting it, you know, some wise guy comes up and says, you haven't done the work. I've done the work. I understand there's no way that this thing goes down, right? And you look back a couple of weeks later and Bitcoin has a failed auction at the top, which is a false breakout followed by another failed attempt behind it, right? Both of those attempts land in new high territory above the 2021 high of 70K. Right now, we've pulled back below that, and we've pulled back below the first 2021 high of 65K, which is relevant because from 65K, Bitcoin got halved before it made a new high. So that's an important level to me. So here we are in danger of breaking that level with probably the nastiest double top false breakout I've ever seen in my life in the rearview mirror. Mm. Right. So I don't have a Bitcoin position. If I was going to put one on, I would ask my boss if I could be limit short this chart right now and stop out above that first, that second high there at 71K or whatever it is. But it looks to me like it's ripe for a pullback toward the ETF launch prices of around 45, 50K. And that would be make total sense in the world to me for, you know, you watch all the corporate buy money with the buy tickets on their forehead, run into the ring and buy their, you know, whatever amount of inventory that they need of Bitcoin. Watch all of the longs get trapped in futures at the highs. Watch all of the longs get trapped in ETFs at the highs and then have a 40% pullback from there. I mean, doesn't that sound characteristic of something Bitcoin-y? It does to me. So I'm excited to see what happens. And I don't have a skin in the game right now, so I'm not going to root too hard. But I am going to give some, you know, some chin music back to all the bulls that said that it wasn't short a bull at 72K. I mean, what a crock of shit that is. Anyway.
Do you think that Bitcoin... So you seem like you're using the same kind of things that you look at when you look at other asset classes. You don't, except for the fact that this is a volatile asset class. So maybe in terms of the kinds of moves, it has a characteristic of more of a commodity because it can, you know, they can spike and come back quickly, but you think it's just another asset. There's not anything particular about this that you would treat it differently.
Yes, it is just another asset other than the fact that it's glowing, right? Given the volatility that it trades at, which reminds me not to pick fights with it because I've already lost all that money too. And I'm not going to lose any to Bitcoin. You know, I've been fairly successful playing it from the long side. And I think I still want to stay that way. Mm-hmm. But it sure looks like the technical worm has turned here. And the thing that I think is important to understand is that the institutional money that just came wailing into this, they're not maxis. They're not never sellers. They're not hodlers. Those guys are responsible to a print on the P&L at the end of the month, just like anybody else. And when the Bitcoin damage gets too bad, guess what they're going to do with it? They're going to sell it, right? So there's an entirely new player in this Bitcoin poker game that nobody knows anything about the characteristics other than the people that understand how institutional money gets traded. And I think that this is going to become a little bit of a factor in the Bitcoin mechanism itself. Mm. That's my two cents.
That's so interesting. I want to throw a chart up that I saw Andreas tweet out today when we were looking at the economy, because you're talking about this rotation. He said, does this look like an economy that's in recession to you? This is a war economy. And it's a chart that you see there that is U.S. construction and manufacturing. And that's a pretty strong leg up there on the right-hand side. Are you either looking at or are you getting questions about anything in the industrials, in the defense area, in any of that sort of, you know, part of the infrastructure, reshoring, global economy type move that might benefit from a rotation, or does that not moving yet?
But what we are having is conversations with clients about how this potentially rhymes with, you know, the inflation. Oh, that was my point. How that where you feel you get a sense of weakness in the economy, but you don't get a sense of weakness from the data. And just like they pointed out about the employment data, that all of the employment gains have been government jobs. You know, we've had conversations about like all of this manufacturing strength and all of this construction spending. It's like, that's government spending too. Like that's what's going on. We're spending for the war. We're spending to try to keep up the economy. They're spending in a number of different ways. We're spending on the new immigrants that are coming over the border and getting hotels in New York City and cash card, whatever. There's spending going on left and right. But it's government spending, and that's what's fueling the markets. And I think a portion of what's fueling the markets, and I feel like that's a little bit what some people might miss out on that read, not seeing that government input. That's all.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
It's important.
All right. So somebody asked about silver. Sorry, there's so many questions I lost you. But what about silver? Do you feel the same way as gold on silver?
No, not at all. Not at all. Silver, I get more literally more questions about silver, which is like, to me, it's people's itch saying, hey, I've got silver on and I'm upset that it's not going up with my gold. What do you think? Right. They're only asking me what I think, but what I know is that they're long a lot of silver and they're pissed off that it's not going up with their gold. Right. Yeah. So now it's like it's never been more important to be in the exact right security. Like, don't be in gold miners. They aren't going to trade to new all-time highs and keep going. Gold is. So be long gold. Silver, the play is not in silver. Silver became as much an industrial metal as it did a precious metal in my mind with the whole electronic vehicle pivot. And so to me, that kind of changed the behavior and complexion of silver. But I've been telling people the same thing is that, you know, gold is the one that is breaking out with central bank buying, with physical buying, all-time highs, technical tailwinds. Point to me, wake me up if silver does any of those things and I'll be interested. It's just not doing it. It's in the same range that it's been in. I'm just not interested because I feel like the dozen questions I get about silver are people saying, I'm sad my silver's not going up with gold. What's going on? Should I keep it or punt it or what? And the answer is you're in the wrong metal. If you're long gold and looking at its performance and wishing you had that, be long the gold.
This is so important what Tony's saying, because as we all know, there are a lot of ETF baskets, right? They'll put you in a basket of things. And that's in times when everything's flying, that it's efficient and it's easy. But this is when I think, again, Tony, your experience really helps, because when you've got to be very specific like that, then you need to really watch out, because it is natural, especially for people who are interested in commodities, to think, okay, I'm going to go in a broad one. I'll like sort of even out my risk. So if I miss one, but you know, that sounds like that is not the way to go this time around.
No, look at the fact that now silver is competing with breaking out gold to the all-time highs. It's competing with Bitcoin at all-time highs, now available in ETFs that you can trade. I mean, like, why is my money going into silver now? Like, to watch it go sideways for the next 5 years and be upset that it's not in the thing that's going up? It's like, guys, be in the right security. You know what I mean? Stop. If you're asking me about silver and comparing it to something else, get out of the silver.
I love it. As we've mentioned before, for the Morning Navigator, you have a whole Slack where clients can reach all the time and everything. What is the sense that you're hearing from people? Do you feel like people are feeling bullish and feeling good, or you know, what is the sentiment that you're picking up?
I tell you, but there's still, I think it's fair to say, and I think my own channel would agree with me, that there's still a lot of crypto bulls in here. You know, I hear a lot of buying on pullbacks and this is cheap again, and this looks cheap and they knocked it down for us and stuff. And I respect that, because these guys know what they're doing. Like, I wouldn't fade the guys in my Slack channel that know more about cryptocurrency than me in a million years. So I try to listen to what they're saying and kind of separate out my own view and kind of keep it a little bit to myself, unless it looks like my view is right. Then I kind of chime in and say, well, this is kind of how I'm looking at it. I don't know if that's right or not, but you know, the same way. So I forgot if I answered the question or not.
No, you did, because that's it. I mean, I liked it. I mean, I think it's so valuable that you have that, because it is a sentiment gauge in and of itself. Right. And so, you know, if people are still bullish and looking for pullbacks, that tells you a lot. And either they're going to stay with it and they're going to be that support, or it's going to get hairy if this thing keeps going south.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. That's fair.
Especially if they're traders and not, I mean, when I mean traders, I mean people like who hold the ETF, as you say, same with institutional. There are now going to be retail people who come in, but will get out when it goes down, not the sort of, you know, real believers who are not going to sell it. And, you know, that there is a different crowd both on the institutional and retail side now, which we have to contend with.
And you can see how big the crowd is. I mean, have you seen some of the volume of the inflows to the ETFs? I mean, it's enormous. It's, you know, the asset class is growing and it's all going into that institutionally traded money. And man, I mean, they may never catch up to the real crypto guys in terms of how much of a stake in that game they have, but man, they're definitely going to become a relevant player on this field. That's for sure.
Which is important to understand.
Yeah.
Great. The chat loves your turn of phrase, Tony, and how you sort of tell the truth to the wailing children.
We're trying our best.
It's great stuff. And just a reminder to everyone, Tony's Morning Navigator is in the RV marketplace. So you want to get on the right side of this stuff, go ahead and check that out. As we know, Tony's been doing it for a long time, and he's always nice enough to share his thoughts with us. Okay, I'm going to squeeze this one in for you, Jim Griffin, because you're always in the chat, even though we have to go. Real quick, Tony, Nat Gas, could it be one of the better asymmetric trades?
Yeah, you know, if you have the capacity to do a trade like that, it does line up that way where it's like, okay, you know, this is stuff that gets burned every day. It comes out of the ground. You know, at some point they're going to turn on taps and it's not going to be coming out as strong, or, you know, it seems like there's value there, but it's not my kind of trade. And so like what I just do is kind of put natural gas on my speedometer screen next to the dollar and the treasuries and treasury rates and the yield curve, and kind of look at it, I guess, like,
you're looking for all those signals to line up. Cause I know when you come on, you'll tell us when they do, you're waiting for it to light up for you.
Yeah. I'm just using it as a cheap input price now. You know, it's like cheap natural gas. Okay. That's good for industry. Right. And it's good for the farmers, and it's good for, you know, it's good for me to keep, you know, my fireplace and my steam room running. So, you know, that's a nice benefit to enjoy. So if I'm enjoying it, everybody's enjoying it. And that's making something easier for the manufacturing output side of some corporation. But I can't look at it like a trade because I am not a knife catcher by any stretch of the imagination. You know, if we see Tom chirp up and say that he's got an exhaustion signal on the downside, that may be even more reason to buy it. But other than that, there's a lot more reasons for me to stay away from natural gas than there is to trade it right now. But I totally understand everybody looking at it as a potential value play.
Yeah, and they're looking at it
play
for the data centers, which is what Jim said. Will, and you know, whether that will be part of that sort of tech AI story, which we will look at, Jim, when we continue to sort of talk about the commodity space. And Oliver agreeing Nat Gas equals mental torture for a trader.
Yeah,
so
sure.
We'll leave it at that. Tony, thank you so much. Great way to spend a Tuesday with you. We love it.
You're the best, Maggie. Have a nice rest of your evening.
Yeah, same here. Stay dry, everybody, if you're miserable in the rain with us. Hopefully you're somewhere sunny and fantastic. But we'll be back here tomorrow regardless. So join us then. In the meantime, take care and good luck out there.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. At Real Vision, we arm you with the expert knowledge, time-efficient tools, and a powerful network to help you succeed on your financial journey. Get a taste of financial freedom with our free offer at realvision.com/free.